T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92 on the game on a Friday. Not a Falcons Friday, though, because Falcons obviously are off this week. That doesn't mean we're not going to get the insight in this hour. Scott Baer, who is the reporter for AtlantaFalcons.com, will join us in about 20 minutes or so, and we'll get the very latest from Flowery Branch as the Falcons now begin to peek ahead to the next game, which will be against Tua Tagovailoa and the Miami Dolphins. In the process here, though, we have our pick six, where we pick the six biggest games of the week, and it's not the greatest week again in college. You know, it's funny about college football. We have the great, Orrin and Abe, the great start to the year with all those big games, first week of the year, and then in week three we had a bunch of big games. And it's kind of, you know, right now there's a lot of teams that are off. Kind of middle of the season, bye weeks are happening, the unspoken bye weeks that happen in college football. But we start to look ahead. Now, I'm not this week, but I'm a little teaser going forward. Oh, do we have all those round-robin games in the Big Ten East, the Penn State, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Michigan, Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State. I mean, all those games are still to happen. We still have Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and Bedlam to happen. We have all the, you know, big games down the stretch, Tennessee, Alabama. And don't, I know, but it's still Auburn, Alabama in the Iron Bowl, right? Alabama, Mississippi State this week. Right?
Sure. Those are football games that are scheduled to occur for the rest of the season, Johnny.
Yeah, so was Alabama, Texas A&M.
Mississippi State has a team.
Hmm?
Yeah, they have a team there. That's not a good one.
Where?
They play football in other states in the country besides Georgia.
Mississippi State's every bit as good as Texas A&M.
Is that saying a whole lot, though?
Well, B&M beat Alabama, you tell me.
Is Alabama going to lose to Mississippi State?
Well, I don't know. I doubt it. But I'm just saying that that's this week game. I you know, all right, anyway.
That didn't even make my pick for Sounds wow. of the SEC for Monday, John. I don't even have that game on there.
You never know. You might want to stand by for
news. Open. I left a spot open. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Pick six is brought to you by Jersey Mike's. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. What are the standings for our pick six, by the way?
He had to ask this week. He had to ask, Abe. You know why he had to ask, right?
I have no idea.
He had to ask.
You want to go 4-1 or 1-4?
Yeah. No, 4-1.
In fourth place, yours truly, with an astonishingly horrible 16-20 mark on the season. This is after back-to-back pick six championships. Not going well. Up next, Hugh Douglas, 19-17. He is above 500.
Second?
Orrin James Romaine, 21-15.
Getting you money.
And with an astonishing 14 games above 500, 25-11, coming off a 6-0
This is why he wanted to hear this.
One. John Fricke.
He wanted you to do that, Abe. That's why he asked for the standings.
John, don't celebrate yet. Don't play.
We're already halfway through. I mean, I'm 25-11.
We can't see him right now.
When does he start to pick safe? Because he picks last. He's going to start to pick safe. We know that.
What he's doing right now, Abe, we can't see him, but he's doing happy dances with the cat.
It's a dribble out the clock.
No, I'm not doing happy. I'm sitting down at my desk here.
You're breathing hard, John. I can hear you breathing hard right now. You're dancing right now.
This may be the best record we've seen.
You're never
going to
hear me breathing hard.
I'm not sure any of us have been 14 games over 500 this early.
I don't know how
season.
To take that, what you just said, John Fricke, but okay.
All right, you have Hugh's picks at hand, right? Correct?
I do.
Okay, good. I have a theme on my picks this week. I'll see if by the time they're done you can, because I've already made my picks. You know, you say going last. Here, as a matter of fact.
You're going all home teams, aren't you?
I'm getting some. I'm not going necessarily all, but some. I'm taking a picture of it right now, and I just took
a photo. I'm kidding. You just pick. I don't care.
Right. All right, so you know what? Let's let Hugh go first since he's not here. Okay, because he normally goes first anyway. So our first game up is Ole Miss at Tennessee. If you want to go to the game at Neyland Stadium, you need to know it is sold out. First sellout at Neyland Stadium since 2016, and on StubHub and on Ticketmaster in the secondary market, $150 to get in to Neyland Stadium to see the return of Lane Kiffin as Ole Miss goes into Tennessee. Who does Hugh like?
Hugh Douglas, not believing the Volunteers are legit. He takes Ole Miss.
It is a shootout kind of game. Hendon Hooker and this Tennessee team, we've seen them lose at home in shootouts this year. Pittsburgh Orem went in there, and Kenny Pickett went up and down the field on that Tennessee defense. Yeah, that Tennessee defense is like, Hendon Hooker can move the ball, but that Tennessee defense, they're a little bit soft. And Ole Miss and Matt Corral, they can move the ball. So who do you like in this game?
I saw a report yesterday that came out that Tennessee's starting running back with Tyon Evans or whatever may end up missing this ball game.
Right.
Tennessee needs all the horses they can just to be able to keep up with Ole Miss and score points, but I don't think it's going to be enough. I think Lane goes in and gets a – I don't know if you want to call it redemption, but maybe he gets a little get back this weekend in Knoxville.
All right, so he's going to go with Ole Miss. Abe, who do you go with, Ole Miss, Tennessee?
I'm not saying this is the game that wins Matt Corral a Heisman or anything like that, but I think we're going to be sitting here Monday, John, and talking about a ridiculous stat line for Matt Corral. I think he's going absolutely bonkers.
Seven touchdowns?
Yeah, like six or seven touchdowns, 484 yards, like something weird. And Tennessee's going to score too, John, but I'm taking Ole Miss.
I'm going to go Ole Miss too.
Yeah.
And this is a case where I tend to agree. And look, Tennessee, I think that Josh Heupel's – I know that Josh Heupel's done a better job than I anticipated that he might do coming from Central Florida. And I also know that Tennessee's on the right track. And you should be very happy in Vols Land that you are on the right track. But this – a little over your skis right now.
I agree.
I can understand why you're excited. But you're not slowing down Ole Miss. And that Tennessee defense is just
I don't think the offense that they've shown is really what they are. I don't think they're quite that good. They only scored 14 against Florida. So I'm
going to go with Ole Miss. Texas is at home against Oklahoma State. A lot of people don't know much about Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma.
What?
I don't know. I'm just Hugh yells Oklahoma every time we mention Oklahoma.
Oh, Oklahoma. Yeah. I mean, and look, Oklahoma State is I think they're pedestrian, okay? They're a little sort of like Kentucky. They win games that are not real pretty. But they did beat Baylor, and they did beat, they beat Boise State, wherever that counts this year. Boise's only an average team. Their quarterback, Spencer Sanders, is okay. Their running back, Jaylen Warren, okay. I think Mike Gundy's got an okay team. But I don't think they're anything special. They're one of those unbeaten teams, and I'm like, they're unbeaten? Okay. Who do you like Oklahoma State going in to face the Texas Longhorns?
Hugh Douglas picked Texas.
Yeah, I'm going to follow Hugh's thought, and I'm going to go Texas as well.
Texas has got me real angry. They screwed me out of a win last week. Should have been.
Me too.
There's some questions whether there's a little bit of hangover after that disappointment. I'm with you, John. I don't think so. I just think they – I guess they're not on Oklahoma's level, maybe Texas, but I certainly think they're still a step above Oklahoma State. Bijan Robinson still trying to find a way to get his name into the Heisman running. I'm going Texas.
Yeah, me too. Casey Thompson is going to be able to move the ball on Oklahoma State. I think Oklahoma State is they're not the number 12 team in the nation. I'm just telling you, they're going to go to Austin. Texas is going to win the game. I think Texas will win by double digits in this
agreed.
Game. Kentucky at Georgia. Any disagreement here?
No,
he's taking Georgia,
everyone's
right?
Taking Georgia.
Yep.
Everybody's taking Georgia. Yeah.
Do it, John. I dare you.
Take him, John.
No, I'm taking. No.
Okay.
No. As a matter of fact, no. Kentucky, I love you. I'm glad you're doing well. You may have a couple of nice moments in this
game. The Oklahoma State of the SEC.
If you get more than 14, I will tip my hat to you. I really will. And you're going to have to get, in order to get more than 14, you're going to have to get a block punt or a drop punt on the 3-yard line or something like that.
I hope they score and go for two just to get to 15.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not happening. Let's move to the NFL. Seahawks and Steelers. Who does Hugh like in this game?
Hugh Douglas. Not a fan of Geno Smith, I guess. He's going with the Steelers.
Seahawks and Steelers. Oren, who do you like?
Seattle doesn't play very good defense against the run. and the Steelers are going to run the football a whole bunch in this game. So, yeah, give me Pittsburgh.
And Abe?
You know, I wrote down the Steelers, and now I'm kind of concerned. The Juju Smith injury, what sort of role does that have on the offense? I mean, even Geno Smith, they got some tools. He looked terrible his whole career, though. I can't go with him, even though he looked okay for one drive last week. I guess I'll stick with the Steelers.
Yeah, it's a clean sweep. The Steelers are going to win this game at home. Chargers and Ravens in Baltimore. Hugh likes who?
Hugh is going with the Baltimore Ravens.
And Oren, you are going?
I am going with the I'm with the Ravens in this one.
And Abe?
Yeah, I don't love the Chargers going east. They may have stayed east after the Browns game. I'm not sure. So that could help. That's potential there. I don't know how good the Ravens are, John. I know Lamar Jackson is probably the second leading MVP candidate behind Kyler Murray. I don't think they face the best opponents. I know they won a big game in primetime the other week, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. But I kind of like what the Chargers are doing. Brandon Staley's making a great showing for himself over the past couple of weeks. Justin Herbert has joined that group of great young quarterbacks like Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. Herbert's right in that discussion. John, I'm taking the Chargers.
Oren, I got to tell you, Abe's right. Chargers are going to win this game.
Attaboy.
All right, well, I appreciate you guys giving me the game.
I used to curse being aligned with John Fricke because he'd always cost me games, but at 25-11 overall coming off a 6-0 week, I'm feeling it.
Oh, buddy, you are approaching dangerous territory, my friend.
Yeah, the Chargers are going to win this game. The Chargers are actually, surprisingly, you know, next to the Bills, they might actually be the best team in the AFC. They're really a good – you just don't watch them enough, guys. I'm telling you, they're really a good football team.
Well, the Browns game sort of gave them a little
Cardinals and Browns.
Hugh Douglas, obviously. His Super Bowl contender, Cleveland Browns. Of course he
Cleveland
did.
Browns. Oren, you're going Cardinals-Browns.
I'm going Cardinals.
You're going Cardinals on the road to win in Cleveland. Who do you like, Abe?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I haven't followed the injury report as much as I probably should have to pick this game. The Browns lost like six DBs last week against the Chargers. I don't know how many of them they're getting back. I think I'm going to go Cardinals. I think they go up to Cleveland, and despite opening as underdogs, they get it done.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the Cleveland Browns at home. This is almost a must-win for them at this point in the year. And the Arizona Cardinals are not going to go 17-0. So they're going to have a few hiccups here and there. This is going to be one of their hiccups, and Cleveland will hold serve at home. That is our Pick 6 brought to you by Jersey Mike's. When we get back in a moment, we'll talk about the Atlanta Falcons, their off week, and what they're doing up in Flowery Branch to get ready for the post-bye season. Which will start with the game against Miami. Scott Baer of AtlantaFalcons.com will join us live next on The Morning Show. Morning Show with John and you on Sports Radio 90, time the game. Falcons, of course, have a bye week this week, the early bye, which isn't, you know, normally I don't like the early bye. This time I don't really mind it that much. If for another reason, you kind of assess where you're at after five games and use this week to kind of get together and figure out some of the soft areas that you need to work on, and then get ready and focus in on game prep next week for Tua Tagovailoa and the Miami Dolphins. Let's catch up with what's going on at Flowery Branch. We welcome into the program Scott Baer again. He is the digital reporter for the Atlanta Falcons at AtlantaFalcons.com, and he joins us as he does every week on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Hey, Scott.
How's it going, John?
Good, man. By the way, before we get into the Falcons, this drives me nuts, Scott, but I just saw, I've got, you know, ESPN on, and they're doing a preview of the NFL this week, and they put up a big full screen here. It says, Patriots versus Cowboys under Belichick. Belichick is 5-0, and he is with a overall plus 13 points per game advantage. Scott.
My goodness. That's a lot.
Yeah. Scott, you want to talk about the most misleading stat of all time? Scott, he doesn't have that guy that went. I'm sorry, that guy's in Tampa. The guy's gone.
Yeah. Something has changed in the equation. There was a variable that's somewhere in Florida now. Yeah, stats can tell you
stats can tell you anything. I've used that to my advantage before. I'm not going to lie to you, but they always can. Whatever you want to hear.
Yeah, that doesn't count. Yeah, that 5-0 thing, that doesn't count no more. Okay, I'm just saying. Okay. So last night, that guy in Florida, bad thumb and all, went to Philadelphia and won them another game. They're now 5-1. Are they on the edge of running away again with this division?
Yeah, and talk about more stats, right? That once you reach this point and you have a record like they do, the percentages of making the playoffs, those super fun numbers, go way, way up, like into the 70s and the 80s. So, yes, it starts to look like the easiest and clearest path to the playoffs. And, yeah, I said that word, and I have to absorb that myself, sorry. But the easiest path to the playoffs for the rest of the divisional teams, how about that, is through the wild card. Things get obviously harder when Tampa Bay runs away with it.
Scott, so tell me what the Falcons have been up to this week. Again, I mentioned at the beginning of the segment here, you know, early bye, normally don't like them, but I don't mind it this year so much. You know, you had a chance to do a little cleanup on some of the things you need to clean up. Has that been the focus this week?
Yeah, definitely. And it has been a big kind of rest and get ready for this next stretch, because for some of these first-year players, I mean, they have a full college season left, right? Like, there's a lot of games to go, 12 of them. And there's a lot of them on the road that, you know, as we all know, that Jets game across an ocean was a quote-unquote home game, right? So they have a lot of road games left that the opposition starts getting harder as we head towards the midway point of this season. Part of it was about getting them right. The other parts of it were going back to what you were saying, right? It's how can this team take small and steady steps towards being more competitive against those tougher teams? They just got through a stretch where they went 2-3 against some subpar competition. They really could have gone 3-0, let's be honest. And I think that there are things to clean up. Number one, the run game has got to get more efficient. Number two, the pass rush has to be better. And number three is, you know, how are you going to populate your defensive backfield, right? That you've got some competition there. You've got some injuries there. And how are you going to deal with it? They need to work all of those things out as they move towards that Dolphins game that we were talking about.
No, there's one thing you didn't overlook, you just left out, that they have to work on. That's covering kickoffs.
Yeah, right. Good point. Yeah, it's been a real issue to this point. I mean, anytime you give up a score off of a kick, that's
and almost two if Tevin Coleman keeps his feet.
Yeah, really, and that's an issue, because that set them up for what should never have been a close game at the end, right? I mean, every win is a good one, right? But those are the types of things, special teams, that you can definitely clean up. They have a lot of special teams weapons, you know, whether it's their own return game, whether it's their kicker. They have a lot of special teams assets, but that coverage just has got to get better. It's got to get better quick. Once you can maybe sort of tolerate and brush off twice, yeah, it's time to go back and solve some problems.
Scott Baer of AtlantaFalcons.com. We saw a little bit of a breakout of Kyle Pitts, what you know, the future portends for the number 4 pick and his ability to change the game for the Atlanta Falcons, especially being used in multiple positions within the passing game without Calvin Ridley and Russell Gage, and I'm really happy to see that too. Is this a case where he's just got to learn all the nuances? I think that's part of it too, the options off the route tree and learn his assignments, and also just you know, kind of a trust factor that has to grow between he and Matt Ryan. Let me stop for a second. I'm going to ask that question, but I want to take you back, Scott, to prior to you coming here. Austin Hooper's rookie year, there was a disconnect. Of course, Austin was having to come in to replace no less than a Tony Gonzalez, but there was a little bit of a disconnect between Matt Ryan and Austin Hooper, and those two went together and really together. Those two spent a lot of time together working out their kind of issues, whatever. I mean, not personal issues. I'm talking about football issues that they had to work out, and you know, so that Matt could understand where Austin would be and how fast he'd get there and all that kind of stuff, and Austin would understand when the ball was going to be. So they worked that out. So there's a learning process that's involved here. So is it the learning process for Kyle Pitts? Is it more about just getting on the same page with Matt Ryan, or about learning all the nuances of all the different things that he's being asked to do by Arthur Smith?
And there is a lot of different unique things that he is being asked to do here. And those things come over time. I will say that he's coached by a lot of good, smart tight ends coaches. Arthur Smith, at one point in his career, was a tight ends coach. He's got Justin Peel. He has Lee Smith and Hayden Hurst within the group. There are a lot of people trying to make sure that he's doing the exact right things. I think he's getting better at that stuff, and he has continued to evolve in that area. I think what we're seeing goes back to that trust factor, in that Matt Ryan is learning that sometimes if you throw to him when he's covered, and this is me speculating, it's not what Matt has said, but it seems to me that Matt Ryan is learning if you throw to him when he's covered, he could very well get that pass interference call, or he's made these kind of wide catching radius receptions that give a quarterback trust, like, hey, if I'm a little bit off, he's going to reach behind him and grab it with one hand, right? Like, he's done that twice. So I think it's all those little things, even if it's not, like how he's running routes compared to what is drawn up on the chalkboard. I think it's more trust of like, oh man, if I throw it to him, he keeps making that play, right? And then eventually the degree of separation to invite a throw goes down and down and down, and he keeps proving it despite the fact that at times he's being shaded and covered by more than one person and those types of things. Also, I think Arthur Smith is doing a pretty good job of getting him in the right positions to make plays. On his first touchdown catch, he was being covered by a defensive lineman. That's a throw you make 100% of the time. So I think for all those reasons, we are seeing more of him. We're seeing a natural evolution, and I think that we're seeing proof. And of course you expect it. The guy was drafted number 4 overall for a reason, but he is a dynamic playmaker, man. And his pulse doesn't quicken very often. That kind of subdued tone is kind of how he approaches it. I just think that this is a special player. I'm very against overhyping guys who are barely old enough to drink, who have played 5 professional games. Not my style, right? But what we saw again, and I know the Jets, right? But what we saw without Calvin, without Russell, and his ability to still produce, even when the world knows that the ball is going to him, right? That 36-yard catch in the fourth quarter. I mean, he went up and got that one. Long-winded way of saying Matt is learning. We are all learning what he can do. I think the quarterback, the coach, and the fans are all coming away pretty impressed.
Scott Baer of AtlantaFalcons.com. I got about 30 seconds. Can you update me on the injury status in this bye week? Josh Andrews, Russell Gage, you mentioned, Calvin Ridley. How are we looking?
Yeah, it's getting better when it comes to Gage and Marlon Davidson. We could see those guys back. Josh Andrews, they have to make a decision pretty soon here that his 21-day window is almost up. And Calvin Ridley still dealing with that personal matter up in the air there. It's tough to tell exactly when he's going to be back.
All right, do appreciate it. Thanks very much, Scott. And we look forward to talking to you next week as the Falcons get back to action against the Miami Dolphins. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you, sir.
Scott Baer of AtlantaFalcons.com. All right, when we get back here, a little look ahead, peek ahead to college football. Clemson plays tonight. Did you know that? I know, isn't that weird? Clemson plays a game tonight, and like nobody's talking about it because, it's the way the season's kind of worked out. And I looked at the SEC West and the race in the SEC West. Is there really a race in the SEC West? Next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on The Game.
Bike blockers, they're similar to us defensively in the front mechanics they play and how they play blockers. So they've always been really great at stopping the run and running the ball. The added dimension now is the quarterback with the vertical passing game. Weapons they have outside obviously are different, and the backs are just they run so physical and so downhill.
That's Kirby Smart talking about. The 6-0 Kentucky Wildcats are coming to Athens tomorrow as a team that's 4-0 in SEC play, and 23-point underdogs, probably feeling a little bit of disrespect in that regard. But when he talks about that they're like Georgia on defense, Mechanically, okay. All right, I'll go with you on mechanically. I'll trust you. They're like Georgia on defense. They're nothing like Georgia on defense, okay? All right? We all understand. I know. It's coach speak. Because what Kirby really should be saying is, man, we got a front seven for the ages. This might be the best front seven in the history of college football. And by the way, sounds like hyperbole, doesn't it, to say it might be the best front seven in the history of college football. But the fact of the matter is, it might be the best front seven in the history of college football. It's that good. Look, I've been watching this game a long, long time. I start thinking about the great front sevens I've seen. This is right there with the greatest front seven I've ever seen. All these guys are playing on Sunday right now. I mean, every one of them is playing on Sunday. I mean, when you've got guys like Davis and Carter and Walker and Dean, I mean, and Anderson, and I mean, it just goes on and on. These guys are beasts, and they're fast, and they're physical, and they destroy you, and they destroy games, and they're gonna destroy Kentucky. There is no reason. This is why we had the conversation a little bit earlier, that we can have more again, and that's what. We got time. We can open up the phone lines here. Why don't we do that? 404-741-0929. All of you out here, here's a question, okay? It's a question we had earlier, and you Georgia fans can jump into this. If JT Daniels, now he'd be probably going to come back, but if he doesn't come back, are you okay? Do you think you can win the national title if Stetson Bennett IV is your quarterback all the way through the final whistle of the national title game in Indianapolis? Can Georgia win the national title with Stetson Bennett at quarterback? All right, 404-741-0929. Now, Oren, who's a Georgia fan, has expressed a little bit of concern about that. I have no concern about that. I have none. I think Georgia absolutely wins the national title with Stetson Bennett at quarterback. But you have a little bit of concern, Oren, about that, correct?
Yeah, it's just, we talked about this off the air too, a little bit more specifically, but I don't know if this Georgia team is going to get in a shootout with anybody. I don't know if they'll have to score 40 to beat anybody. But if that does happen, I don't know if I trust Stetson Bennett to go out there in a 40-point ball game and win you something 49-45.
No, and that's fair enough.
And, again, the defense like you're talking about, right. You said might not be hyperbole, but as good as the defense is, you don't know if there's going to be a game where that defense gives up that many points. But
I
just don't know if that's – if I don't like having that looming over him as a just-in-case for a quarterback.
And by the way, JT Daniels may well be back, and this is a moot point. But it's just a kind of a thought process here. And maybe it's not a moot point. Maybe it's actually going to be a fact. Maybe JT can't get right, okay, because, you know, Stetson is going to be the guy. This defense is not giving – nobody's scoring 40. Teams aren't scoring 20 on them. Abe earlier put down, if Georgia scored 24 points per game against everybody potentially they could face here. We're talking Kentucky, Tennessee, Florida, Alabama maybe in the championship game of the SEC, I don't know, Oklahoma or Ohio State in the first round or whoever in the first round of the playoff, and then maybe Alabama again. If they score all, they score 24 points in every single game, how many of those would they – the answer is they win them all. I just don't see anybody scoring 24 or more on Georgia. Not Alabama, not Oklahoma, even with these high-powered offenses. Because what Kirby is going to do is he's going to lean on that offensive line. And see, Alabama's got an issue. Look at the West here, okay? Alabama's 2-1. They're playing Mississippi State this week. Now, you would normally say, you know what? And normally if Alabama goes in, they should go in there and win that game 42-7, right? I mean, this should not be a game. But Mississippi State's actually not a bad football team. The only thing that works against them is they can't run the ball at all. And that's where Alabama's really been weak. And Mississippi State might be the worst rushing team in America, partly because their head coach is a let's throw it 60 times a game guy, right? I mean, that's what Mike Leach is. You know, so Will Rogers out there throwing the ball 60 times. And Mississippi State's running attack is non-existent. Okay. I don't think they even try. They run the ball like 15 times a game, maybe. Did you say Jason? Is that what I heard? Yeah, Jason joins us this morning. So, Jason, question for you. Can Georgia win? It's just a thought process here. Let's say JT can't get right. Can Georgia win the national title and be celebrating in Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis with the confetti coming down if Stetson Bennett is your starting quarterback all the way through?
No, I don't think so, because I remember what he did against Alabama and Florida last year, and he laid an egg. He was terrible. I don't think he can beat the good teams.
All right. So you're saying that there's a strong concern here that he could beat the good teams. But don't you see, I guess, Jason, I'm kind of looking at it from this standpoint. A, I think Georgia's defense is better than it was last year. And B, I think that there are more flaws in Alabama and Florida.
Yeah, maybe there is, but I don't know. I just don't trust him.
Okay, that's fair enough. Jason, you're kind of like you, Oren. He doesn't trust that Stetson Bennett won't happen. See, the other part is what you said, and Jason brings a voice to the other part of this, Oren. You said you don't trust that he would be able to produce the 375-yard, five-touchdown game you might need if you got into a shootout. And what Jason is saying is, I don't trust that he isn't going to go full Stetson Bennett, and the next thing you know, we got four interceptions.
I mean, he talked about last year, and for two and a half quarters last year, three quarters last year, Alabama and Georgia played neck and neck, and then their first-round quarterback hit a switch and ignited that offense to where they – I think Matt threw for 400 yards last year in the Georgia game, in the Alabama game. So it just – I don't know if Stetson and Mac, you know, say what you want to about his limited athletic ability. He's a first-round quarterback. And you can tell when a first-round quarterback is a first-round quarterback and what they can do out there on the field. Stetson's not a first-round quarterback. So when he hits that switch, I don't know what his ceiling is. And if there comes a time when you need him to ignite that offense to start scoring points for you in bunches – and it comes on his shoulders, I don't know if he's the guy that can do that.
Yeah, well, we'll see. 404-741-0929. Could Georgia win the national title? I had Oren in my ear saying Reggie as I was saying Georgia. Can Georgia win the national title if Stetson Bennett's quarterback all the way through? Reggie's in Decatur. Hey, Reggie.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man.
Hey, yeah, I truly believe that they can win it. Georgia is loaded with quarterbacks. I just wish that Kirby would give some of the, you know, other guys that they have signed on, you know, more experience time on the field. But we're totally loaded all the way. What really surprised me is that if you guys check it out, if you check out the guys that come in, the commitments they have coming in for the 22 season and the 23 season, those two squads alone is really almost better than what we have, and that's scary. It's beautiful, but it's scary. Along with the schedule that's coming up for 22 of next year, if y'all guys can go online, even the callers go online.
Yeah, all right, that's fine. But why, Reggie, why are you let's do this now. I mean, don't worry about 22 and 23. I mean, those will take care of themselves. That's to worry about now. I mean, yeah, don't you got to win a title now?
Yes, okay. I believe they'll win it hands down with no competition whatsoever. Because
all right,
you
no
know,
competition.
Right now, okay. SEC is you know, we're the best so far.
Georgia looks really tough. Like, they're really hard. I do appreciate it, Reggie. Reggie's not wrong. I mean, Reggie's right. I mean, Georgia's having another phenomenal year recruiting, and this is the culmination now of all those great recruiting classes that have happened here. And that's the other question that we can ask. If Georgia gets this done this year, because I believe it's absolutely true, is Georgia replaced Clemson as that other dominant power in college football alongside Alabama? I think, by the way, the short answer to that is yes. Okay. Alan's coming. He's on with John. But right now this year, Alan, can Georgia win the national title if SB4 is a quarterback all the way through?
Absolutely. I do believe so, John. You're right. I don't think anyone can put up more than 21 on Georgia. And that Russian attack is just getting warmed up now. I cannot see anyone that's left on the schedule, including Bama. If we warm up the way they're going right now, anyone stopping the Russian attack, if they give you two touchdowns, a couple more field goals, that's enough to beat any team out there that's left on our schedule, including anyone in the playoff. With that defense, I think they absolutely can.
Yeah, that defense is some kind of special. Abe made a really good point. Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Reggie. Appreciate the calls, everybody. Earlier that I think is really kind of one that we'll start to look at here is that they haven't had to lean on one guy in that backfield. So when we talk about Zeus being maybe the number one, sort of quasi number one back, and then Cook, and then McIntosh, and everybody else that they have in the, you know, the, what was it that Derek Mason said, running backs coming out the gas station fully gassed, that they are going to be fully gassed, and they're going to need to, because I think Georgia's game plan is really simple. And this is what great teams do. Great teams say, this is what we're going to do, stop us. And Georgia's basically going to line up and say, look, we're going to run the ball, we're going to play field position, we're going to hit our tight ends, and we're going to get a defense that's going to make you live in a nightmare world of backpedaling. And that's how we're going to win games. Stop us. And that's exactly what I think they'll do. And by the way, I think that's a formula that wins them a national title. There will be a tough game down the stretch here at some point. Maybe, yeah, and it might surprise you what that tough game is. Maybe the tough game is like a semifinal game against somebody like Michigan, which is a good football team. I mean, Michigan's a good football team. Maybe Michigan just plays really well that day, and it's a tough win, and you win, you know, 23-20 or something. But you still win the game. Aside from that, and then only thing stopping Georgia from winning a national title this year, Georgia, flat out. Nick Costos is our oddsmaker supreme. What does he think about that 23-point spread between Georgia and Kentucky? I'll tell you what I think of it. I'm taking Georgia all the way, but he may tell you Kentucky's going to cover. We'll ask him next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.